As news from the increasingly deadly war in Afghanistan gets worse, President Obama, in an Oval Office address to the nation, announced the end of combat operations in Iraq, a war that he pledged to end during his 2008 campaign for the White House. While Obama highlighted the reduction of U.S. troops from 144,000 when he took office in January 2009 to 50,000 today, the drawdown comes at a time of escalating violence and the failure of political parties to form a new government after national elections in March. The troop withdrawal does not include 95,000 private military contractors, with the U.S. State Department planning to increase the number of security contractors working for them in Iraq. The price paid for the war launched by President Bush in 2003 is astronomical, with almost 4,500 U.S. troops killed, tens of thousands wounded, and more than 100,000 Iraqis estimated to have thus far lost their lives in the seven-year war, with a monetary cost of more than $700 billion. While the U.S. invasion, originally tied by President Bush to weapons of mass destruction and the 9/11 terrorist attacks, brought down the brutal regime of Saddam Hussein, the quality of life for average Iraqis has not improved. More than a decade of economic sanctions, war, and occupation has smashed Iraq's infrastructure, resulting in a lack of basic services, including inadequate electricity and high unemployment. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the group Code Pink Women for Peace, who discusses the significance of the end of U.S. combat operations in Iraq and the current agenda of the U.S. peace movement.
Well, it certainly is a step in the right direction, but I'm concerned about the continued very large footprint that we have. 50,000 troops is nothing to sneeze at. It's a lot of troops, and they're still going to be involved in dangerous activities, being potentially killed and killing. And then there are the tens of thousands of contractors, private contractors, that will continue to be there, the largest bases ever, five enduring bases, and the largest embassy ever in the world, the size of the Vatican. So our presence will still be very prominent, but it is a step in the right direction, and we have to keep pushing. It might occur that if there is indeed an Iraqi government at some point, they might ask the U.S. to stay longer, and we have to be prepared to be pushing President Obama and the Congress to say no.
And Medea, what shape is the United States leaving the Iraqi people as we draw down the number of troops there?
We have destroyed a country that had been living under 13 years of brutal sanctions and under a brutal dictatorship. And things are worse now than they were when the U.S. entered. People have less electricity, less clean drinking water, a health care system that before the sanctions was the envy of the Arab world and has now been decimated. Iraq, unbeknownst to most Americans, had one of the highest educational levels in the world and certainly in the Arab world. So it was an extremely educated society, and now the educational system is in tatters. That's not even to bring up the refugee situation, where there are at least 4 million Iraqi refugees living in desperate circumstances in Syria and Jordan, and Lebanon, and all around the world, and internally displaced over 1 million Iraqis as well. So we have really destroyed that country.
What do you see the role of the peace movement in this current period where, if things go according to what the articulated plans are, a troop withdrawal in Iraq while we see a simultaneous escalation of the war in Afghanistan? What do you think the peace movement should be doing now, given it's been fairly quiet since Barack Obama was elected?
I think we have to put the two wars together. First, we were so focused on Iraq that we forgot Afghanistan. Now we're focused on Afghanistan, and we're some people going along with the narrative that the war in Iraq has ended. Put them together and talk about the wars, because that also includes what the U.S. has been doing in Afghanistan and the drone bombs that are happening in other places as well. And to say that we have to stop these aggressive wars, that we have to put it in the context of the U.S. financial crisis, if we really want to speak to what most Americans are concerned about and say we cannot rebuild our economy, we can't have money for our schools and our healthcare system and our infrastructure and the green energy system we need to build if we continue to spend so many billions of dollars on war. And so this new campaign that's been called Bring Our War Dollars Home is being launched in cities and states around this country, and I think it's a very exciting time to make alliances we've been talking about for 8 or 9 years now but haven't done a good job at building. The peace movement has tended to be white and older. And October 2nd, there is a mobilization not called by the peace movement. It's actually called by the unions and the civil rights organizations, NAACP, SEIU, National Council of La Raza, the U.S. Student Association, to call for jobs, jobs, jobs. And we have asked to be part of this and to bring in the message of bring the war dollars home so that we can have jobs, jobs, jobs. And it's been an interesting process because we have had to fight to get the language against the war into the call, partially because many of these groups don't want to go against the Obama administration's policies, and partly because many union members who have jobs that are related to the war industry. We're very excited being part of the building for October 2nd. It's going to be bigger than Glenn Beck rally in Washington, and it's going to be led by people of color in the social justice movement, and we are determined that the issue of money for jobs, not for war, be included in it.
That was Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the groups Code Pink Women for Peace and Global Exchange. Contact Code Pink by calling area code 415-575-5555 or visit their website at codepinkalert.org.